Greetings to another episode of the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your mental strength coach, guide, and mentor. Before we begin, to find out more about mental strength training and Warrior Mind coaching, you can visit www.warriormindcoach.com and also the blog, which is at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. And today I have with me again the producer friend, Rishi.
Thanks, Greg. What do you think of the movie Inception?
Yeah, well, first we need to give a big warning on this.
Spoiler alert warning.
We are going to talk about it in detail, including the ending. So if you have not seen the movie Inception yet, you may want to hold off on listening to this podcast until you have seen it. If you have seen it, sit back. We're going to not necessarily dissect it from a scientific perspective, but we will do that, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. This is the first time that we've embarked down this road of reviewing a movie. So if you've seen it, great. If not, pause this and go see it and then come back and listen. So I thought it was an excellent, excellent, excellent movie. I mean, it was just phenomenal.
So did I. And there are just so many different topics we could discuss here, whether it's talking about planting thoughts in someone's mind or planting thoughts in your own mind, the concept of time, or how the contents of the movie relates to what we've been discussing before in regards to perception. Projection is perception, or was it perception is projection?
Right, projection is perception.
That's it.
Yeah, what I found was very intriguing on this. It embarked on a topic. Now, there have been other movies that have this is not anything like The Matrix, although maybe people may think it is, but it is not like The Matrix.
There are no red pills. There are no blue pills.
Nope. There is an injection of fluids, but that's about it. But there has been some movies made about the power of the mind and other aspects. There was one on remote viewing, which I've participated. But this one particularly is interesting because it goes into lucid dreaming and the powers of lucid dreaming. For those that aren't familiar with it, lucid dreaming is the ability to know that you're dreaming and control your dreams. On a side note, shamans and Buddhists and other individuals back in the ancient teachings thought that if you can control your dreams, you actually then can control your life. So by practicing controlling your dreams, you thereby gain the power to control your life as well. So the movie kind of goes into this lucid dreaming aspect of it, which I felt was very fascinating.
Have you ever lucid dreamed before?
I've practiced it, but I sometimes fall too far asleep. But my wife does, and she controls the dreams.
Yours or hers?
She controls her dreams. I don't know if she might control mine too, but she controls her dreams at times. Have you ever?
I've never lucid dreamed before, but I've noticed that on times when I've taken some melatonin prior to going to sleep, my dreams are just very vivid, very colorful, often disturbing for some reason, and that's a known side effect too. But yeah, the melatonin just gave me just the most vivid and colorful dreams. But yeah. I don't think that's lucid dreaming.
No, the difference from my understanding, and I have done some research on it in books and talked to people who have workshops on it, lucid dreaming, it does take an intention to control your dreams, and you have to work with your unconscious a lot. So if you don't have a very strong rapport with your unconscious, lucid dreaming may be difficult at first, but part of lucid dreaming then is also to establish rapport with your unconscious. And you basically say, I want to dream tonight, and I want to be able to know that I'm dreaming, and I want to be able to control my dreams. You give yourself that command before you go to sleep. And then as you dream, you remember that it's a dream, or you say, I wonder if I'm dreaming. And then you are able to manipulate your dream according to what you want to happen. So if you want to fly, you fly, whatever. So there is this process of working with your unconscious in manipulating your dreams as they're happening, as opposed to it just happening to you.
Right. Right.
That's kind of what I found fascinating about the movie, is that it was lucid dreaming on steroids.
What about the whole idea of sharing dreams, being able to be in someone else's dreams.
You know, that's another thing that goes back to shamanism and journey work, is there's this aspect of journey work where you can journey for somebody, or shamans would journey on the behalf of somebody. It's not necessarily a dream as they're sleeping, but it's a alternate reality where the shaman would go in and work with a person at their unconscious level. You look at the Aboriginals, they say that this is the dream time, that this is the dream right now. We are in the dream. So this process of going into somebody else's dream, the word dream itself might not be correct in the tense for shamanism and Aboriginal work. However, there is a part where you can go into a person's, receive information from another person's unconscious and bring it back to them. I do that one of my workshops. I'll pair people up and have them not talk to each other at all, so they have no background on each other. And one will journey for another one, come back with some symbolic messages, and the person will go, "Wow, that's amazing. That's exactly what I needed to know." And so there's this connection involved there.
Wow, that's amazing. And have you ever experienced this yourself on a personal level?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I journeyed for a friend of mine in Santa Cruz who was going through some challenges. And I journeyed. I said, "Do you have a message for me concerning so-and-so about the situation?" And I got some symbols and some things and heard some voices. And I let the person know what happened, and it made perfect sense. But not to me.
That is amazing. And if you ever want Greg to do this type of service for you, you can always check out the website, warriormindcoach.com.
Oh, thank you. But Rishi, you mentioned in the beginning here, which is very great, is about the idea of planting a thought. And actually, it's the idea of planting an idea.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's an idea that grows in another person. And that idea then turns to a thought, that turns to a belief, that turns to an action. And in the case of the movie, they wanted to get this individual plant an idea to break up his father's company, because there was going to be a worldwide conglomeration over energy.
That's right. Right?
So the whole premise was these espionage individuals would go in and plant an idea. But the key with ideas, and this is why... This is what I found so amazing on the movie, is that they said that unless the idea is perceived to come from the individual themselves, it's not accepted. And you look at life in general, when somebody tells you what to do, do you really do it? Where if you come up with the idea yourself, you have more ownership to that.
That's true. That's true. And you also have more passion in what you do, whether you're doing something based on your decision or doing something based on another's decision. And usually in the latter case, that's usually motivated by, I would say, fear and just trying to maintain level of status in your doings. For instance, trying to keep your job because your boss tells you to do certain work that you may not care about.
Right, exactly. And that's where planting the idea, where hypnosis comes in very handy, as well as metaphors. Metaphors are basically a story that doesn't necessarily tell the recipient of the metaphor. So if I would sit here and tell you a story about a challenge, let's say that you were having a struggle doing something, I said, "You know, Rishi, it reminds me of this story about the little train who could." And I would talk about the little train who could. I think I can. And I go through that whole story. If you've never heard it before, you may go, "Wow, that really is pretty cool." And as I'm telling you the story, you would be having thoughts about a situation that's going on and going, "Yeah, I can do it. So by putting a person into a light trance and then telling them a metaphor, the unconscious mind thinks it's their, they come up, the unconscious mind comes up with their own idea as to what that metaphor represents in that person's life. Hence, it's their own idea.
That's right. Then
they act on it, as opposed to me telling you, "Rishi, I know you can do it. I know you can. Instead of me telling you, I would give you a metaphor. You would extract from that the power in it and implant your own idea. But I was the one, or I would facilitate that, just like the movie did.
And it reminds me at the very end, well, not exactly the very end, but at the end of the film, where they all the subjects wake up from their 10-hour flight from, and 10-hour flight meaning their year-long dreams that they've been having. And as soon as they all wake up, the subject where the main characters are planting the idea, he wakes up and he's all of a sudden thinking, maybe I should break up that company.
Yep.
Of all the work the others had to go through just to make, that person believe that it was his idea to break up that company.
Yeah, that was really good, because it was apparent from watching him wake up that you thought, oh, he just got this information from a dream he had.
Yes.
But it had to be planted in such a way that this is where the movie gets really fantastic, because they go through the different layers of dreaming. And I want to see some more about this, because I don't know if they're talking about the regular layers of consciousness, which is the beta, alpha, theta, delta. Mm-hmm. And those are the brain waves. So when you're in beta, we're right now talking. When you're in alpha, you're in a trance. Theta is where you're just in a sleep. And a delta is where you're heavy, heavy sleep. So they went into three layers into a dream. And I'm wondering if those are the three layers, right? The alpha, the theta, and the delta.
That's right. And I think the delta was that particular drug that was concocted by that one scientist.
Right. So it was very interesting how they had to go down to that final delta level to place this idea of breaking it up. And it wasn't even a command, which was so wonderful, right? It was more of a story, you know, with this, it was actually a metaphor, right? Where the son saw his father dying and the person explained other things. And it was a whole metaphor. It wasn't, oh, you're supposed to break up the company.
Yes.
It was a whole metaphor in that deep subconscious. And that works. That works very, very well in real life applications.
There's just so much to think about in this movie, because, and you agree, there's just a lot to think about and a lot of questions you won't wish you could have answered. For instance, just now when he mentioned the dream state and delta, and when we're completely aware and conscious, that's beta. However, suppose that we're living in a dream state right now. I'm sitting across from you. We're talking about this movie, but perhaps this is just a dream state. And when we wake up, but we feel that we are in a beta. Now, suppose we wake up from this dream state, maybe, I don't know, average lifespan, 75, 80 years. So we have a good 50 to 60 years in front of us, I'd say. When we die and wake up from this dream state that we are in now, I wonder what beta would feel like in that state.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Am I a butterfly dreaming I'm a man, or am I a man dreaming of a butterfly? That was Lao Tse, or who said that? It was some great philosopher.
I forgot too.
But this aspect of the whole part of the movie was just, the concept of it was really, really amazing, about getting into other people's dreams, implanting a thought. The time shift, right? You mentioned that, right? The time shift. Mm-hmm. And why does that occur? And I've never found any explanation as to why there is a different time shift when you're dreaming versus real life. What happens? Because when you're dreaming, it seems like it's normal speed.
Yes.
But it is, it's heightened speed. But it, you know, that perception of, that's just an amazing concept to think about.
Yeah, it's not as if when you're dreaming, you have your watch in front of you and you say to yourself, oh, I got another 5 minutes of this dream before I have to get to work.
Right. and then you know, the question arises, you know, what are dreams for? And that's another, you know, these were almost, what this was very fascinating is they had an architect of a dream, right? Mm-hmm. They had the person who designed the dream itself and designed the framework of the dream, and then the individual's unconscious filled it with his unconscious part of it. But yes, what are dreams for? Mm-hmm. And I think almost everybody has agreed that it's a way for the unconscious to communicate and resolve challenges in a person's life. But each person is unique, and because the unconscious deals in symbols, not necessarily words. So you're not going to hear voices. Well, you may, but that's a different story. But most of the time you have symbols. So each person's a symbol is unique to the individual, although five people could have the same symbol. For instance, if you had a dream about a pond of water or a pond, which is water, that may be one thing to you, but to another person, it means something else. Mm-hmm. So you have all these symbols in it. And so what are the dreams for? Well, there's ways to work with your dreams and ask your unconscious to work with you in resolving problems. And that's what's fascinating about dreams and unconscious.
And I really like this answer, your answer as far as what are dreams for, better than what I've learned what dreams are for in my psychology class back in college. And their explanation was they're just scrambled thoughts in your unconscious, and your mind is just trying to make sense of those thoughts that we have. That's what dreams are. But there is a lot more to dreams than just making sense of scrambled thoughts you have.
Right, because if they were just scrambled thoughts, would you be able to control them? Because they're scrambled. So the fact that you are able to control them in lucid dreaming, which is a proven fact, that does that mean that it's scrambled? You know, there's some intentions behind it. Because I have purposely asked myself to dream and remember the dream, and I do that. And the unconscious mind is very, very powerful, and it's a really wonderful thing. Just a simple example, I don't use an alarm clock. Mm-hmm. I go to sleep every night and say I want to wake up at 4:30, and give or take 5 minutes, I wake up at 4:30 every single morning without an alarm clock because my unconscious wakes me up.
And I've noticed that too. I remember reading a column, an Ian King column in Testosterone Magazine online, where he mentions that, and I tried it and it worked.
Yep. And that's when you're in good rapport with your unconscious, or starting to get into good rapport, your unconscious will work for you. It does these wonderful things. And that's what this movie Inception, although it was a James Bond meets the Matrix, was right on. That's a perfect explanation. But it does show you the power of your unconscious and what it can do, and what, you know, an idea, you know, the most contagious, I forgot how it started out, but the most contagious thing in the world is an idea. Mm-hmm. Right? It just will just go like crazy. It's a virus. The most contagious virus in the world is an idea. Mm-hmm. And once somebody gets that idea, it just percolates throughout.
Yes.
And so I think that the movie, taken into what I can do with it, you know, so you go watch the movie. It's great entertainment, and recommend it highly to everybody. But then there are some things you come out and go, okay, what can I do with it? How does it help me in my life? Well, this does, because it helps you understand that there is that possibility of controlling your dreams, that you can implant an idea in yourself and have it grow in your unconscious. And that's where hypnosis, NLP, mental strength work comes in. If you can't do it yourself, find one of those practitioners and they can help you with that.
And is HUNA also involved?
HUNA is involved also. A lot of that spiritual work, HUNA shamanism, does a lot of stuff with dream work. So the more you work with your unconscious, whether it's through dream work, guided meditation, self-hypnosis, NLP, the more you get into rapport with your unconscious, the more you're going to be able to create the results that you want. And that's what they did here. They had a result that they wanted. They wanted this gentleman to break up his company. They went in, worked with his unconscious. Mm-hmm. They planted an idea through a metaphor, and it took. They came out of it, and he broke up the company.
I want to talk about some of the metaphors that were used to plant the ideas into someone. One of them was the vault, the idea of the vault, having your secrets and your information inside a vault. And the other was the use of the totem, or that personal object that each of the members carried for two things. One was to have something on their own, and also to use it to test which state of dream they're in.
Yeah, actually, what I think they were doing is to use that to see if they were dreaming or not, mm-hmm. because they got caught up so much into the dreams that the only way they could verify they were in a dream or in normal reality was to use this totem. And because in dreamland, all the rules of physics don't necessarily apply. Mm-hmm. So if you have a something that's spinning, it may spin forever.
Yes.
Where here in this world, it would, with gravity being more pronounced, it would eventually slow down. So by using the object, they would be able to tell, okay, am I dreaming or am I in another world or in the reality?
And what I found very fascinating was how Leonardo DiCaprio used his wife's totem to implant the idea in her. Do you
yes.
remember that scene?
Yes,
I'm
yes.
referring to?
Yes. Yeah, that was and he was testing it out to see, you know, that was more of a test to see if it would work about the dream. And unfortunately, it worked all too well because she...
It worked too good. And
he implanted the idea and she thought that she was still dreaming.
Yeah. But then at the end, we're not sure if even... And here's the brain picker about this, was that at the end of the movie when Leonardo DiCaprio was spinning his that little totem, we're just not sure whether if he's even in a dream or not, and whether if his wife was right to kill herself to wake up from that dream, because we just don't know if who's right, Leonardo DiCaprio or his wife.
Right, because the top was spinning and it wobbled a little bit, but it never fell, and it was like a weeble. The weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And but so that was interesting. And I guess, you know, we were joking about it before we started to record that the producer was going to wait to see what the box office revenue was like before he made another one. So he left
Inception
it.
Too.
He left it open. But it's just a fascinating. And the thing is, although it's very science fiction-y, there is a lot of solid, great information in here that, again, you can use personally for self-development. I mean, it's tremendous, tremendous information, and it's just a lot of fun to watch it.
I felt that this movie was very open-ended, and I cannot speak for the director, Christopher Nolan, but in my opinion, I think that he made this movie for us to interpret the meaning our own way and see how this movie could work for us.
Right, and actually the movie is a metaphor for each person to watch it and extract out of it. I mean, that's a perfect example. Any movie you go to is a metaphor, because you'll go to a movie, see it, and interpret it as something unique in it, regardless of what the movie is. Well, your interpretation is based on, we're going through this, beliefs and suppositions and other stuff, but it's also, if you're having a challenge in your life and you go see a movie that's very positive, your unconscious mind will extract out of it the things to take to do. And so all the movies are also metaphors. They're a very long metaphor, but they also can help.
There are some pretty great movies I can remember. Any other movies you can remember that you've extracted and made great use of?
Well, I think one of the classics for guys is Rocky.
That's right.
Right? I mean, Rocky, you go, you're feeling down, you go out and you see Rocky, here's a guy, and then he goes up and you pull out of it. Wow, I can do this. And it's like your own idea. Although you saw the movie, you pull out of it what you have to do in your own life. And that's what's important about those. It's inspirational, yes, and it implants an idea as long as you continue to hold on to that idea and let it grow, because that's what they were talking about in the movie, right? These ideas can go to a certain point and then die off if they're not accepted.
That's right. And recently for me, I've been getting into the Thor comic books. Great, great story. And pretty soon they're going to make a movie out of it too, which I'm totally looking forward to. But just the symbol of Thor, the superhero who's the god of thunder and possesses strength to endure just the many challenges and we face, is just very inspiring. And like the Rocky story, you have the underdog who struggles really hard but gets that one chance and makes it big. Just yep. Amazing, amazing stuff.
And here's what's important about that. There's a lot of dialogue in the movie that I think gets missed for the average lay person, and I have to go back and review it a lot. But you know that the conversation about an idea has to be accepted by the recipient, and then has to be accepted so and thought of as their own. So first, when you tell somebody an idea, they're not going to generally accept it. And if you can use a metaphor like they did in the movie and implant the idea, great, it'll start to grow. But what causes it to be accepted or not is the person's beliefs, their beliefs about themselves. So this individual believed wholeheartedly in himself. He had the belief that he can do this, he can do it, he can break up the company, he can be better than his dad, he can do all of that. However, if he had beliefs that he felt that he wasn't, that idea would not take. So part of working with metaphors and working with it yourself is to, with time empowerment and other practices, go back and remove those limiting beliefs before you implant new ones. Because those new beliefs, like in the movie, they had these guys with the machine guns, the unconscious mind coming in here. When you implant a new belief in there, your old belief's going to go over there and attack it. So you have to neutralize the old beliefs that could intentionally stifle that new belief or the new idea from growing. And once you neutralize that, you put a new idea in your subconscious, and then it will grow into a bigger belief.
And what are some methods to remove those old beliefs or those conflicting beliefs?
Oh, there's a plethora of them. Part of it works, again, with NLP, timeline empowerment, and that could probably be another podcast onto itself on how to work with limiting beliefs, because first you have to identify them. And this may be a little bit of a side note here, but the easiest way to identify any limiting beliefs is look at your reality. Mm-hmm. You look at your reality, where are you lacking that you perceive that you're lacking, and that's your limiting belief. If you're not making enough money, you have a belief about money. If you don't have enough friends, you have a limiting belief about friends. If you're not in a good relationship, you have a limiting belief about relationships. You can argue all you want, but your reality is a perfect reflection of your beliefs. And in the movie, the reality was that the gentleman felt confident about himself, about his capabilities. So when the idea was planted that he can break up the company and be bigger than his father, it took. If he didn't have that belief, that idea would never have taken.
That's very interesting. And for you to make use of this, what we've been talking about and what's been discussed in the movie, this is not about manipulating other people. This is not about controlling other people's minds. It's more about controlling your own beliefs and controlling your own mind. It's not brainwashing in any way, just to...
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even you go back and look at the components of a brainwashing, I think you have to be isolated for at least 7 days, lack of sleep for that time, underfed, undernourished. There's a whole list of caveats that are determined before brainwashing takes place. So Rishi's right on with that. And what is important about this, as Rishi was saying, it's about how you can use it on yourself. And if you're unable to, but you know that there is something that you want to change, an idea that you want to implant or have implanted, if you will, go look out, go search for a practitioner in your area or contact me. A lot of this can be done over the phone or by Skype. But it's wonderful. There's no reason for anybody to sit and suffer, if you will, with the existence of what they have. There is more out there for you. And the movie was a perfect example of it. The guy thought he was doomed to live in his father's shadow, and they actually did him a favor in some way and implanted this idea. Yeah. And now he's living his own dream.
And you have no right to, well, let me put it this way. There's no reason for anyone to feel any kind of suffering unless they just enjoy being suffered, unless they enjoy the suffering. But even then, ask if you always like to play in victim mode, ask yourself, is this what you really want? Or are you just like being a victim because it's dramatic and people can feel sorry for you?
Right, which goes off on another subject, because usually there is a payoff and all that. But you know, the movie again was just fantastic, and there are a lot of truisms there. There are some machines that there's a portable automated somatic intravenous device. Basically, I'm pronouncing it all wrong, but it can tell a person how they're thinking, where their thoughts are, and actually watch them in dream mode. So there's, you know, you can tell when a person's dreaming. You can watch their EEGs, and so it's very very scientifically based, the movie.
And what was really cool also was the movie, yes, was deep, and there was just a lot to think about. However, the special effects just complemented the topic very well. it's just amazing just how much they were doing in the movie. For instance, in the hotel scene where the hallways were getting flooded, and then also gravity was shifting the hallway in such that everyone was floating in the hotel room. Yeah. And it was bizarre and weird, but it was at the same time pretty awesome too.
Yeah. I mean, getting down to the fun part of it, right? The special effects were tremendous on it. It was just watching them in the hallway and in the van, and how they did all of that together was just great. And then the whole perception of time, getting back to what you mentioned in the beginning, Rishi was talking about time. You know, is time just an illusion that the brain or mind creates in itself?
That's what I wonder also. Do you remember in the very last episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, where Picard, Captain Picard, was living in his present moment, and then he was also living as an old man in the future, and then also as the younger Picard from the very first episode, all at once?
Yes.
And it showed that time really isn't necessarily linear, but we can only perceive time as something linear.
Right.
And of course, this is... talking about Star Trek is completely different, but at the same time, it also just questions what is time and how is it perceived beyond the three dimensions we live in.
Exactly. So Rishi, if you were going to sum it up, what were the three top things that you got out of the movie? Whether it's fun, scientific, personal development, whatever it is.
Well, the personal development, definitely, for sure, as we talked about ideas being thoughts and being able to change your life practically just with the ideas you have. Another thing I got out of this movie, and it just goes beyond what our normal thinking, is that just the dream states we're in, whether you know, we're living right now is a dream state of a completely different awareness. And suppose that after I die, and my death is really means a wake up to another awareness, when I get to that awareness, does that mean that I step up one dimension? Because as humans, we can only perceive in three dimensions. However, scientists proclaim there are, what, nine dimensions in total, or even more, maybe?
More.
I don't think we could ever know what the experience of being in those higher dimensions are. I think M.C. Escher may have had an idea with his illustrations and his artwork where it kind of skewed the laws of physics in a way. But I just wonder if each dream state we're in that we wake up, if we enter a higher dimension.
Very cool. Yeah, the Escher ones, right? The staircase was
in
the movie also.
That's right.
Right. How they went up the one staircase and down it again and all that. And I think for myself, just the special effects were just amazing. The special effects helped, I think, sell the concept, because when you're in a dream, you can fly and you do feel these different things. So I think the special effects for me were tremendous. And then with yourself also, the thought of planting an idea, but the whole concept around it, that it has to be the recipient's own idea, or have to be perceived as their own idea and then accepted. And they never got into what makes the acceptance take. And that's where I thought was fascinating with the work that I do, is helping people take that acceptance. And then the end. I think the end is just too trippy, that it just can create a conversation forever until they either don't make another one or they do. And then we'll find out what happens then.
So you can just the ending, you can just talk about the conversation forever and draw all sorts of conclusions, but never reach to the right one, because I think that was the intention of the director.
Yep.
Was to interpret it as your own way.
But great, great movie. Recommend it highly. When it comes out in DVD, I would recommend, well, I'm going to buy it and put it next to The Matrix and a few other ones that I have there that just completely keep me thinking.
Great. So anything else that we have coming up for a future? By the way, if you have not seen the movie, see it now and let us know what you think.
Yeah, and I think next time we're going to get into some of the physical parts of mental strength training and coaching. We're going to talk about the physical aspects. So, you know, particularly working out, stress in our bodies, putting our bodies under stress, and how that helps with the mental aspect of it. We'll get into some of that. And so then until next time, remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And if you don't take your rightful responsibility and program your own mind, the world will program it for you.